Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 32. But recall the former days, when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, enable us to have our eyes open to your word. Enlighten us. Illuminate your word to us. Lord, as we see our lives in this world, help us to see them with the perspective of eternity. Help us to look with your eyes on the world about us, to truly see what you have set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of the sermon, and you'll see listed in the bulletin, How Bright Are You? Now, as I look out at the people out here, there's some of you who are pretty bright. I can't match the intellect of many of the ones sitting in the pews out here. But there's a brightness that we all need and that we all can have if we're looking to the Lord, our God. I was looking at the house that I eventually got. I couldn't see anything in the basement because everything was closed up, so I took out my phone, and on my phone I have a little app. Probably most of you who have a smartphone have something like this, where it just sort of turns on the light for the camera, and so you can see fairly well. So I'm looking around the basement using this light and seeing what I can. Now, I probably saw it, but I think I put it out in the back of my mind that someone had gone through and taken all the plumbing out because they had a lot of copper in it. And I didn't realize that someone had also, I probably did see it the first time, but when I went down there yesterday, or in there yesterday, I put on this light and, put on this light. And I was able to see a little bit more clearly because, you know, it's right there, right above my eyes. So I could just look around and see. And I realized that all of the wiring, too, had been cut off, snipped off in the basement and just cut off. So, fortunately, I didn't go through the whole house and pull out all the wires. But I don't know. I may need to replace it anyway. But I could see a lot better with this on. Now, technology should be moving along enough so that they can just embed something, just over my eyes. So whenever it's a little bit too dark out, then all of a sudden that automatically comes on and allows me to see whatever I need to see. Don't you think that would be good? God's done that for us. The fact is that God says that he sends his spirit into us to illuminate his word and to help us to see the world around us with a different perspective. God doesn't give you a smartphone and have you turn it on and look around. He doesn't give you a headlamp so you can see wherever you're looking. He gives you this Holy Spirit inside of you to enlighten you so that you can see the truth of what He is doing in this world. Make sure your eyes are open to that. Make sure you're seeing with His perspective. Make sure you're seeing, but not only seeing. There was a warning that we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, or 4 to 8. I'd like to read that. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, the light's been turned on. Okay? The word, the Greek word is what the word we use for photo. Photizo, but it's where photography comes from. The idea of putting light onto paper and making an image. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, their eyes were opened so they could see the truth, but there was a problem. Who have tasted the heavenly gift, but they didn't take it in. We talked about that before when we were in Hebrews chapter 6. And have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and they have fallen away. It is impossible to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain and that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Now, back in chapter 6, the writer followed that warning by saying, but you're not like that. He also here in chapter 10 follows the warning that I spoke about last week. He follows that warning not to fall away, not to look the other way, with confidence again that you're not like that. That you're not out there sinning deliberately and continually, and that you're going to fall into the final apostasy where you don't recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and recognize the gift that He's given in dying on the cross for your sins. The writer here follows that warning with confidence that his readers are not of those, but are of those who have truly been enlightened, whose eyes are opened, not only enlightened, but who see clearly and follow after the one who has opened their eyes. We see a vote of confidence here, and as we look down through this passage, we'll see not only the opening of the eyes, but the reason why we can have confidence in what Jesus Christ has done, and confidence that He is going to take us through until the end. So first of all, I'll talk about a light for the path, a better possession, and a great reward. A light for your path. So in verse 32, we start out, but recall your former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured. After you were enlightened, okay, so recall, go back to when you first became a believer. Now, for some of you, that'll be very hard to remember because it was a long, long, long time ago. Now, Bill's been having problems with his memory, right, Bill? And so I don't know if he remembers all the way back years and years and years ago to that time when he became a believer. But recall those former days after you were enlightened, after you realized the truth of what Jesus did for you in dying on the cross for your sins. Remember that. What was it like? Now, some of us who grew up in a church don't have one specific time that we can call, but it seems like we just always believed. Others who did not grow up in a church came to the point where, wow, look what Jesus has done for me. He lived, He came to earth, lived a perfectly righteous life, and then died on the cross that I might have the way to come to God. Recall your former days. After you were enlightened, after you saw truly what God had done for you in Jesus Christ. And realize what you have to do then. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, some, we read in Hebrews chapter 6, some saw that and then backed away from it. Chose not to follow. Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you following Jesus? Has he opened your eyes that you can see the truth, that he is the light of the world, that he is the one who came to earth to die on the cross so that we could go to God and be with him for eternity? If so, follow him. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Have your eyes opened, and then follow. You will have the light of life. You'll have a light for the path, Psalm 119. You'll be able to make decisions depending on your God to help you through the things that you face in this life. And you'll be able to see clearly the light that is at the end of the tunnel when we can be with our God forever. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Having the light of life does not mean that things are going to be easy. And the writer goes on. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Now the hard struggle here, I don't know how many people did sports in high school. When I was coaching soccer, the beginning of the year was a hard struggle for the girls. I needed to get them in shape for the season. So we ran and we ran and we did hills and we did all sorts of things. Now, Nate's taken up golf. I don't know if they do any conditioning for golf. Do they do any? Or you just go out and play? That's a finesse sport. But most other sports, you really have to get into shape and you've got to work at it. Now that's the idea here. The word is actually the same. The first struggle here is the word that we get athletics from. And it's that conditioning at the beginning of the season where you're really working hard. These people were facing a hard struggle. They were having to endure much when they first became believers. It was a hard struggle with sufferings. Now that sufferings is used of the sufferings of Christ as he went to the cross, as he was scorned, as he felt the reproach of people that were just mocking him and doing all sorts of things. It talks about the suffering of Christ, but Paul uses it, and the writer here uses it for the sufferings that we face as we follow Christ. Sharing in Christ's sufferings. So they're enduring hard struggles with sufferings, but they're doing it with joy. The writer wants them to think about that time when they had to go through those things. Apparently now they're not facing quite so much. Now, are you in the midst of hard struggles with suffering right now because of your Christian life? Now, there are many reasons for our hard struggles and suffering. They're not all good ones. But if you're facing struggles and sufferings because you're a believer, that's what we're talking about here. And that's what happened when they became believers. When the Hebrews became believers, they were facing these things. Now it's not so much. He calls them to remember those times because now they're comfortable. And now they're starting to listen to the voices of others who would take them away from the gospel. And the writer is calling them back to that initial time where their minds were open, when they saw the truth of what Jesus had done for them, and when they pictured before them who he was and how they needed to follow them. He recalls them to mind. Don't get comfortable. Make sure you're following. If you're too comfortable, maybe you need to look for other things that need to be done. But we need to follow. They endured the hard struggles with sufferings. What were some of those struggles? Well, one was that they were publicly exposed. The word here is the word that we get theater from. So they were publicly exposed. They were put up for people to look at. Another translation of this might be gazing stock. They were a gazing stock. The picture here, I think, I don't know if any of you have gone to historical sites where they've got the stocks set up so you can put your head in one hole and put your hands in the other hole. And the idea is to get the feeling of being pelted with tomatoes or something as you're sitting in the stocks. That's the image that's here. Is that they were put up there for public exposure and so that people could mock them. They were a gazing stock. They were willing to endure that. They were willing to go through that. And sometimes it wasn't even them that was in the stocks. But they were partnering with those who were. So someone was being publicly exposed and they joined in with them voluntarily. They were a part of it. Sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Now, notice the two things that he talks about, the reproach and the affliction. Now, I don't think too many of you have been beaten or anything else because of your faith. But have you suffered reproach sometimes? Have people sort of looked at you as a little bit odd because you had faith in someone that you couldn't see and touch? Well, maybe. Maybe some of the stands that we make because of the Scripture, where we have a definite truth that we follow, maybe you've received some reproach because of that. Take joy. If you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're doing it because you're following Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you should be able to do that with joy, knowing there's more to it than the reproaches of this life, that we're storing up treasures in heaven as we go through these things and as we face what the world would give out. Reproach and affliction, and sometimes partnering with those who are suffering those things. Some of the other things they were doing, they had compassion on those who were in prison. Now, the King James, I think, talks about the writer being in prison, but the earlier manuscripts don't have that. So it's just that some of the Christians some of the people that were following Christ were being put in prison. They had compassion for them. They went to visited them. Maybe they took things to them, but they had compassion for those who were in prison. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. They joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. Couple images for that. Now, you might look at a historical film, something like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Is that historical? Anyway, some historical film or something like that talks about pillaging or plundering, that kind of a thing, where they just go in and they wipe out a whole town, or they wipe out all sorts of people and then just leave everything burning. Maybe a little more historical would be Sherman's march during the Civil War across Georgia, where he just went and he just destroyed everything in his path. What he wanted to do was to break the backs of the Confederacy. He wanted to cut off their supply lines. They twisted the railroad lines and things like that. And he went, they started out with 20 days rations, and they figured they will just, he marked out his route so that he could forage all along the way. So they were just going through and robbing every one of what they had so that they could supply the troops as they went along, and they just pillaged, they plundered as they went from Atlanta to Savannah. That's the image of the word that's used here, is that plundering, that pillaging, that completely destroying of everything in the path. I'm not sure exactly what these Hebrews, these people faced, but at some point they faced the plundering of their property. But they did it with joy. They did it knowing that they were following a God who had more for them. Why did they do it? They did it because they knew they had a better possession. As you're facing the struggles of this life, are you looking at the better possession that's yours? The things of this life will go away. Now, some of us helped Aaron and Katie move. I wasn't able to do it yesterday. I'm sure that they had a tough day yesterday finishing that move. Now, if you've ever had to move, you probably realize that you had a lot more stuff than you ever thought you had. And, you know, we just sort of gather things in this life. These people accepted the plundering of their possessions, everything that was there, because they knew they had a better possession. They knew there was more waiting for them that nothing in this world could compare to. They knew they had a better possession. Not only a better possession in terms of living their life in Christ, in terms of knowing the one who would save them, who would save their souls and allow them to come into God's presence for all eternity, who would give them a life with purpose here on earth, who would give them a life with confidence in Him, who would give them a life with community of other people around looking at the same things, who would give them a life serving a loving God. But not only a better possession in terms of all those things, but also an abiding one. The better possession will not end. The trials we face in this life are short compared to the eternity we will spend enjoying our Lord and the treasures we're now storing up with Him. Remember that. You have a better possession. Look to that. Whenever the waves start crashing in around you, whenever you have need, because there is a great reward. Look at 35 to 39. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. As the writer takes this quotation from Habakkuk and applies it to the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming one came once and gave himself for us. The coming one will come again. Once the church is complete, once God has called all those to himself that he will take with himself for all eternity, when the church is complete, Jesus Christ will come again and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Who will be with him? My righteous one shall live by faith. Trust in that one who has given himself for you. Trust in that one who is the light of the world. Trust in that one who is the light for your path. There will be no darkness if you're looking in the right direction. He's got the technology so that you can see. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Trust that the Holy Spirit will illumine to you His Word and show you how you are to live your lives here and now. As you make each step along the way, look for the light of your path. Look for the lamp to guide your feet. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you, help us to serve you in all things, to follow after you, to look to the light. Help us to see clearly where you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray.